7BR Part Heard. Darren, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Darren, you prosecuted in the first trial to be heard at Northampton Crown Court since lockdown began. In what ways was your preparation for this trial different than usual?
Well, the most important thing I found was that you had to be ready at a moment's notice during the trial to have evidence available to be called. Because of the social distancing within courts, all of the preparation, certainly from the prosecution side, had to be front-loaded. We had to have all of the documentation prepared in advance. There was lots of social distancing involved. And when the jury came in or were empaneled, one of the difficulties was that if anything arose, you'd have to send them all out again. So we had to have all the documentation and all of the evidence ready to call at a moment's notice.
And with that documentation, how did the handling of things like jury bundles, agreed facts, etc., written legal directions, how did that work in practice?
With all of the trials that are now taking place throughout the country, there are some standard protocols now developing. There are local protocols as well, but jury bundles in particular, and any documents that were going to be given to the jury, had to be prepared well in advance so that they could be handled by the person producing them, by somebody who was effectively gloved, masked when they were producing these documents and the bundles put together, and then delivered to the court 72 hours in advance. That was important because it would give the confidence to the jury when they were receiving the documents that there was every step being taken to ensure their safety and that there was no possibility of contamination of the COVID virus to them. And so all of the preparation of jury bundles was very important to be done with agreement. And of course, with solicitors' firms, many of them having to have furloughed their staff, it meant liaising with defence counsel who were often late instructed. So a lot of the work falls to the prosecution to be ready and ready to go with all of that. So far as things in court were concerned, that was slightly different. So written legal directions, what the judge would do was she would discuss with counsel the legal directions she proposed to make, hand us digital copies from which we could then make amendments. And then eventually when those were ready to be produced, they also had to be produced in large numbers, of course, for the jury and anybody involved. But more importantly, produced again in a way which gave confidence to the jury that they would be COVID-free. So they had to be produced, printed off a fresh ream of paper, handled by somebody wearing gloves and wearing a mask when they were produced, and distributed in court one by one, with that very much clearly being done. So it had to be seen to be done as well as done.
That all sounds quite resource and time intensive. How did that affect the timescale of your trial? How much longer did it take with those restrictions in place?
That's the thing. This was a fairly straightforward case. It was a wounding with intent that I prosecuted. And ordinarily, the case would have probably taken no more than 2 days. Ours took four. Admittedly, the first day, because it was the first trial back after the lockdown had eased for courts, was spent reassuring all the parties that the systems in place were okay. And I suspect that much has been established now, so that won't happen again. But any normal two-day case, I think you can comfortably add a day to. And equally for any slightly longer case, you can add a day or two because of the potential for things to go wrong and the time it takes to move jurors in and out of the courtroom.
You mentioned jurors there. How did the jury selection process work? Was that any different? And then where were the jurors placed in the courtroom?
It was an adaptation. The criminal procedure rules, of course, don't or didn't or couldn't possibly have anticipated COVID or a pandemic of the sort. And ordinarily, you would only use reserve jurors in complex cases. This being a very straightforward case, nonetheless, all parties agreed that it would be important that we would have two reserve jurors so that 14 were effectively selected. And by the end of the close of my opening, we were able to say goodbye to two of them. But the whole process was very, very much a laborious exercise because each juror had to be brought in one by one to observe social distancing and placed literally on a spot marked out in the court, pre-designed to show that they were more than 2 meters away from the next person. And that whole process took a very long time indeed. Once the 12 were sworn, all of the jurors in waiting then had to retire, or rather the 14 were sworn, or effectively sworn, all of the jury in waiting had to retire. And then they were all brought back in one by one to sit in their allocated space all around the court. It wasn't, they weren't all sitting together in the jury box as you could normally imagine. And so all of those things take time. And so, as I said earlier to one of your earlier questions, it was important that the evidence was available to be called at any one time, because if a hiatus occurred or a legal matter occurred, what the judge could do was look upon me to call some other evidence to restrict the number of times we'd have to send the jury out.
As part of the COVID recovery plan, HMCTS is piloting a new approach to court operating hours in Liverpool Crown Court, which started on Monday, the 17th of August. What does that pilot scheme involve?
Well, I don't know how it's going to work in practice, but the documents that I've seen in relation to it indicate that the Crown Court at Liverpool is intending to maintain a standard trial court with normal court hours operating, but to run one court, I believe, but operating a split shift alongside the standard court, so that the one court, which is able to identify cases which might be appropriate for it, would have a shift from 9 o'clock in the morning till 1 p.m. with a handover between 1 p.m. to 2, where the court was cleared, staff would change, and the court would be cleaned. And then from 2 o'clock at 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., the second trial with a new group of advocates, a new judge and jurors would then run. So effectively running two trials within the same court on the same day. Now, how that will work in practice remains to be seen, but I think steps have been taken to try and ensure that there are no problems regarding practitioners who may have childcare responsibilities and the like, by allowing counsel to identify with the judges which cases may not be suitable. But in practical terms, and certainly in my experience, when one arrives to a normal court for a start time of 10 o'clock, that doesn't mean you're going to start or arrive at court at 10 o'clock. You will normally arrive an hour and a half or an hour before with the intention of dealing with matters which you can deal with before the hearing. So in real terms, the 9 o'clock court, for example, to 1 p.m. is going to have to involve somebody arriving at court at the very latest at 8 o'clock in the morning, which is going to add greatly to anybody's childcare arrangements, if there are any. But also it's going to impinge on solicitors, the CPS, court staff. A lot is riding on this because, of course, we're looking to clear the backlog. But ultimately, it's a lot of goodwill from the bar. And so it involves quite a lot, and it's a big ask for everybody. And I wait to see how it unfolds.
Has there been any indication about how remuneration will work? Will there be issues, do you think, if a 9-to-1 sitting is then considered half a day's work?
Well, long before COVID, the court sitting days were restricted by the Ministry of Justice, and a backlog of quite sizable proportions was already developing, even as long ago as last summer. And in order to clear the backlog then and to get around the problem of court sitting days, it was proposed, certainly in the Thames Valley, that this would be a good method by which one could operate one court with two trials. For some reason or another, I'm not entirely sure what happened when the idea was floated, but it was closed down quite quickly. And I suspect, for some of the reasons which are obvious, that if a trial is listed in the morning, that would otherwise normally in a normal court last 4 days. If it's going to go into a morning list or an afternoon list, there's a chance that that case will then last 8 days. And so it may well have an impact in due course. But of course, if that is noted, that an 8 day case was really a 4 day case, I wonder how long it would be before the mandarins realize and then start paying council half day fees. So there is a concern at the bar about that, I know. And I know that these are said to be temporary measures, but I can see or foresee a situation with goodwill from the bar, solicitors, and all those in the court service who are going to make it work, that eventually someone will realise that if you can split the courts into two and make cases last 8 days, but only pay counsel for 4 days, that may actually be another way in which we can have a restriction on the levels of remuneration for both the bar and solicitors.
Well, it'll be definitely interesting to see how this plays out in practice, and perhaps we can check in a month or so time and have a chat about how it's all worked out.
Well, I shall certainly be speaking to my friends in Liverpool about it.
Darren, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.